Please call the roll. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. We're going to post the colors, and Senator Suzanne Bonamici will lead us in the pledge. And our own Senator Rob Monroe will deliver a quiet and peaceful invocation.
Good Senator must have looked at my notes. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, give us peace today in this time of turmoil. Bring us together. Teach us to be humble, to not think too highly of ourselves, but to understand that we are elected to be servants of the people. Make us ever mindful of that. Now, Lord, we would ask your special blessings on those of our members who are at home and ill. Our good Senator Jackie Winters, we'd ask that you would touch her back, heal her so that she may be back with us. We need her. And my colleague Betty Comp, my co-chair, who has been out with blood pressure and heart problems for the last 2 weeks, we would ask that you would bring her back, restore her health, and bring her back amongst us for the important work that we have yet to do. And especially, Lord, I would ask your touch and your hand on our good Senator Peter Courtney, who leads us. We'd ask your ever blessing on him. Give him peace. Give him an understanding. Where would we be without his leadership in these final days of this session? I would conclude with the old saying, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
I thank Senator Bonamici for leading us in the pledge and Senator Rob Monroe for our today's invocation. Courtesy of the Senate, Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I ask that courtesies of the Senate be extended to my daughter, Sarah Simon, who's with me today. Sarah is a recent graduate of Beaverton's Arts and Communication Magnet Academy. She also attended Beaverton High School, and I think her favorite class was European history. She is a company member of the Northwest Classical Theater Company, and she wanted to find out what my day was like in Salem, so she's spending the day with me here today, and I ask that courtesies of the Senate be extended to my daughter, Sarah. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Sarah. We're pleased you could be here. I believe you're on your way to Wellesley and great, extraordinary school, as everybody knows. Your mother and father are going to miss you terribly, but you've just informed me you've already got your tickets to come home Thanksgiving, winter break, Christmas break, and everything else, and I'm sure that that's important to them. But they're very proud of you, very proud of you, and so they're rooting for you. So, job well done. We're honored to have you on our floor. I'd like to extend this courtesy of the Senate to you, Sarah. Good job. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to direct your attention to the desk of Senator Verger, although she is just moving. Mr. President, as the Vice Chair of your Senate Health Care and Veterans Affairs Committee and representing the members of that committee, Senator Alan Bates, Senator Bill Morse, and Senator Frank Morris, we have, as a token of appreciation for her extraordinary leadership during an extraordinarily difficult session, this plaque of appreciation to Senator Lori Mona Sanderson, who was the chair of your Senate Health Care and Veterans Affairs Committee. And on a personal note, Lori, we've been working together a lot of years, and I truly appreciate your willingness to listen to all people, and you've done a good job, girl.
So there you are. The delivery of recognition among the committee people to the members of the committee. Any other courtesies? Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would request permission to reference printed matter from Western University of Health Sciences.
Sure. Please feel free to do so.
Colleagues, thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is a great day for the state of Oregon. It's a great day for the Pacific Northwest. It's an especially great day for my hometown, Lebanon, Oregon, and Samaritan Health Services. We will be having a groundbreaking ceremony today for a medical school that will be built in Lebanon, Oregon, and it's the College of Osteopathic Medicine of the Pacific, known as COMP. And this medical school will be known as COMP Northwest. The Northwest Campus Parent Organization, Western U COMP, has educated osteopathic physicians for 31 years with a total of 3,572 physicians graduated since 1982. It has graduated 52 students in the Northwest track, and we will be beginning the first class of 100 students for a total of 400 students when it's ramped up in August of 2011. A state-of-the-art facility, medical school, and by the way, colleagues, this is a private partnership, not a public-funded medical school. Great day for the Northwest, and I'll be representing the legislature at that groundbreaking this afternoon at 4:30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remonstrances? Question from the Governor.
June 23, 2009. Dear President Courtney, I'm returning enrolled Senate Bill 5520, unsigned and disapproved, and enrolled Senate Bill 5554, in which I disapprove Section 3 and signed and approved as to the remaining provisions of the bill. Pursuant to Article 5, Section 15A of the Oregon Constitution, I have the power to, quote, veto single items in appropriation bills without thereby affecting any other provision of the bill, end quote. In accordance with Article 5, Section 15A, I hereby disapprove of veto Section 3 of enrolled Senate Bill 5554 without affecting the remaining provisions of the bill. I have lined through the items I disapproved and veto. At this time of great economic uncertainty, I cannot support any bill that reduces our reserves to a level that puts the economic and financial stability of our state at risk. With a record-setting unemployment rate of 12.4% and a significant risk that state revenues will continue to decline throughout the course of 2009-11 biennium, it is critical to providing certainty and stability for our schools to maintain our reserves until the legislature reconvenes in February 2010. The state is in a better position to weather this economic recession because of the legislature's leadership in 2007 and to establish a rainy day fund. I believe very strongly we must preserve this fund and use it wisely when we have more certainty around the economic recovery and state revenues. I do not want to be in a position to give a false sense of certainty to our schools only to be forced to take it away when the legislature reconvenes in 2010. As governor, I have a responsibility to look beyond each fiscal year. In light of the current economic situation, I cannot approve this depletion of reserve accounts proposed in Senate Bills 5520 and Section 3 of Senate Bill 5554. Sincerely, Theodore R. Kwangowski, governor.
Messages from the House.
Madam President, this speaker has passed House Bill 2749, Senate Bill 5520, Senate Bill 5554. Speaker has signed Senate Bills 5520 and 5554.
Okay. Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 133 and number 134 were distributed to members June 22nd, and number 135 and number 136 were distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal and status report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Should I go ahead with propositions on these?
That part I don't know.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and...
Propositions and motions... I can recognize Senator Hass.
Madam President, I move the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 64.
Senator Hass moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 64. Discussion?
Madam President, Senate Bill 64 resolves a technical conflict in statutes about the distribution of excess revenue that three ESDs receive due to their high ESD tax rates and low school district tax rates. The House amendments don't change any part of the bill except for one thing. They add provisions to deal with the situation in the Sherman County School District. The district is considering consolidating two elementary schools that currently qualify for additional small school weighting in the school equalization formula, and as amended by the House, Senate Bill 64 would allow the district to include the sum of the two elementary school student weights calculated prior to that merger for 3 years. This is a very narrow exception for this district only, and it will make life much easier for those people in Sherman County. I think these are very helpful and fair changes to address a specific problem, and I ask that you concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 64.
Seeing no further discussion, those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 64 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, President Courtney. Excused, Farioli, Morse, Winters, President Courtney. 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 64, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. I recognize Senator Prozanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 570.
Senator Prozanski moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass 570. Discussion?
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, the effects of the House amendments is basically just to add forestry and logging equipment into the definition of commercial metal property. If you remember, 570 is our bill on dealing with metal theft. This will actually permit that that type of equipment will be covered under the definition of commercial metal property. It's a good fix, and I encourage your support.
Seeing no further discussion, those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 570 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, President Courtney. Excused, Morse, Winters, 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 570, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Recognize Senator Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 796.
Senator Walker moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 796. Recognize Senator Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The House made some amendments that we had wanted to do here in the Senate. We knew we would do in the House. We clarified that a death care consultant, you do not need a license if you're providing an educational workshop. We also clarified the meaning of a funeral establishment so that we don't accidentally declare your home as a funeral establishment if you're having a home funeral. And we also made a few other minor changes. Madam Chair, this makes the bill very clear. I think it provides consumers with choice and protections under the law. It's a very good bill, and I just have to say I have never in my 10 years in the legislature ever worked with a lobbyist on the other side who has impugned my character like this particular lobbyist or distributed patently false information. So I will be glad when this bill is done and we have protected Oregon consumers. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, those are the opinions that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 796. We'll answer ayes and nays called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli. George.
No.
Gerard.
No.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
No.
President Courtney. Excused, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 796, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Prozanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 971.
Senator Prozanski moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 971. Recognize Senator Prozanski.
Thank you, Madam President. This here is the House amendments basically took care of clarifying some definitions and the training costs that would be covered under the bill. Thank you, Madam President.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, those are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 971. We'll answer ayes and nays are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters. Voting no. Atkinson. Bonamici. Ferrioli.
Senate Bill 971, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam President, members. I move the consideration of the committee and minority report to House Bill 2831 be taken from their place on today's calendar and placed on the Thursday, June 25th calendar.
Senator Devlin moves that the consideration of the committee and minority report of House Bill 2831 be taken from their place on today's calendar and placed on the Thursday, June 25th calendar. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam President. Sine die is imminent. My bet is on Friday. Thursday is a good day to do this bill.
Seeing no further discussion, the question is on taking the committee and minority report to House Bill 2831 from today's calendar and placing it on Thursday, June 25th calendar. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion is carried. And we're going to be in recess just a minute. All right, we will continue with the order of business. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Recognize Senator Burdick. Actions on executive appointments.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the rules be suspended and that the Senate confirm en bloc the following appointments to the respective boards and commissions. The Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, Deneen Fry and Philip Johnson. Commission for the Blind, Frank Armstrong, James Edwards, John Wilkins. Governing Board of the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, Lisa Phipps. Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Heather Van Meter. State Board of Higher Education, Matthew Donegan. Commission on Hispanic Affairs, Gilbert Carrasco and Marcella Mendoza. Trustee of the State Library, Shannon Applegate. State Marine Board, Brian Carroll. Mechanical Board, Daryl Scondon. Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators, Margaret Howe. Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors, Rachel Piliad. Oregon Liquor Control Commission, Cassandra Skinner Lapata. The Oregon Medical Board, Keith White. The Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Director, Naomi Kaufman Price. State Board of Pharmacy, Kenneth Wells. State Board of Psychologist Examiners, Robin Shallcross and Linda Sherman. Oregon Student Assistant Commission, Glenda Milton. Oregon Tourism Commission, Karen Utz. Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Eric Quatemps and Dan Thorndike. Those are my nominees, Madam President.
Senator Burdick moves that the rules be suspended and the Senate confirm en bloc the governor's appointments as listed on today's calendar. Recognize Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Madam President. The Oregonians being considered today for appointment appeared before the Senate Rules Committee and spoke earnestly of their desire to utilize their professional and personal abilities to serve as members of these various state boards and commissions. They are knowledgeable, eager, and looking forward to the challenges before them in service to the state. We are lucky to have these volunteers step up to do the important work of Oregonians, and I recommend that they be confirmed en bloc.
All right, recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam President. Is this the appropriate time to declare a potential conflict of interest?
Please do so.
I have out of an abundance of caution, I want to declare a potential conflict of interest because one of the persons whose appointment is being considered for the Commission on the Blind, Dr. Wilkins, is my personal and family ophthalmologist. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, do you want to close? All right. The question is, shall the Senate suspend the rules and confirm in bloc the governor's appointments as listed? All those of the opinion that the appointment should be confirmed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, President Courtney. Excuse, Winter, Schwein and Ice.
The appointments are confirmed en bloc. Recognize Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the rules be suspended and that the Senate confirm en bloc the following reappointments to the respective boards and commissions. The Commission on Asian Affairs, Teresa Ferrer, Simone Mamarill. The Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Eva Temple. The State Board of Education, Artemo Paz. The Oregon Educators Benefit Board, Ron Gallinet. The Governing Board of the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, Lisa Phipps. The State Board of Higher Education, Brian Fox and Rosemary Powers. The State Council, the State Housing Council, Gina Woolley. The State Marine Board, Richard Allen. The Oregon Racing Commission, Stan Robinson. The Oregon Artistic Commission, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd. The Oregon Transportation Commission, Alan Brown, David Lohman. The TriMet Board, Tiffany Schweitzer. The Oregon Watershed. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Patricia Smith. Thank you very much, Madam President.
Senator Atkin moves that the rules be suspended and the Senate confirm en bloc the governor's reappointments as listed on today's calendar. Recognize Senator Atkinson.
These are all great commissions, and they came to the Rules Committee. I would urge an aye vote.
Senator Walker.
Madam Chair, I need clarification because I don't see Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd on my list. So am I voting for a fictitious character here, or was the good senior senator being a jokester?
Is that a question?
Yes, that would be a question.
Would you?
Madam President, that was a last-minute change from the Oregon Tourism Commission that's being moved to tomorrow, and apparently I should have crossed that out. I strike that from the record.
All right.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
The Oregon Tourism Commission, Jackie Edmonds-Bones and Wynn McCormick will be put at the bottom of the calendar, at the foot of the calendar. We'll carry it over. All right? All right. Seeing no further discussion, the question is, shall the Senate suspend the rules and confirm en bloc the governor's reappointments as listed? All those of the opinion that the reappointment should be confirmed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, President Courtney. Excused, Winters, 20 ayes.
The reappointments are confirmed en bloc. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 5530, Financial Administration, DHS, and Court Emergency.
Passed to calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 671 of the Capital Planning Commission.
Recognize Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 671A establishes a 9-member Capital Planning Commission, which includes representation from state government, local government, and local private citizens. The commission is charged with tasks related to state buildings and grounds within the city of Salem. These include establishing development and master plans, setting standards and guidelines, coordinating planning with local government, and making recommendations on proposed development of or changes to state buildings. The Department of Administrative Services is charged with supporting the Commission. The agency's 0911 budget contains resources to carry out this work. Funding for the Commission and other capital project planning activities are supported by agency assessments. The Commission is required to report each biennium to the Legislative Assembly on the development and master plans adopted by the Commission. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 671A.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, if you remember back in the recession of 2003, we eliminated this commission as a cost-saving measure. and we have seemed to have been operating quite nicely without it. Now, in an even worse recession, we are reinstituting it. It seems counterintuitive. I voted against it in committee. It's not a lot of money, but quite honestly, it's not necessary, and the money would be better spent elsewhere.
Seeing no further discussion, the question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 671. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett. President Courtney. Excused. Winters, voting no. Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 671, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 976, from National Armed Citizens, declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Haas.
Madam President, this measure will allow school districts to administer a nationally recognized assessment test that is large and for large and small school districts that have, they have been doing this all along. They need a waiver to do this exactly like the one they received last year. These school districts have a successful history with the ACT as opposed to the SATs. Both are excellent. Both have long histories. But without these bills, 13 school districts will have to switch, which for them will be more expensive and inefficient. This bill has amended so that it has a sunset in 2 years. It will not cost the state one penny more, and I ask for your support.
Do you need to close, Senator Haas? All right. The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 976. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett. President Courtney. Excused. Winters, voting no. Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Nelson, Starr. Excused. Winters, voting no. Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Nelson, Starr, Verger, Walker, Whitsett. 17 ayes.
Senate Bill 976, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2749, with amusement device taxes, private revenue raising and private approval by 3-1 majority.
Transmitted to President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2186, on greenhouse gas emissions, declared emergency. House Bill 2325, on personal injury protection benefits. House Bill 2827, on child abuse. House Bill 2904, on property taxation, prescribing effective date. House Bill 3004, on sales of foreclosed property, declared emergency. House Bill 3106, on nearshore research, property money, and declared emergency. House Bill 3495, on law enforcement contacts policy and data review committee.
Passed to calendar. Third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2377, little use of mobile communication devices while driving.
Recognize Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Madam President. Permission to use a visual aid?
Permission granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2377B comes to you from your Senate Rules Committee. This bill addresses Colleagues, I'm very sorry. But colleagues, this is a constituent has been trying to reach me for 2 weeks, and after this session, I'm going to need all the votes I can get. Hello? Mr. Jackson, yes, I'm so sorry I haven't gotten back to you. Yeah, I understand that you're very angry. I know. You're angry about what, Mr. Jackson? Oh, the cell phone bill? You're angry about the cell phone bill? Mr. Jackson, you won't believe this, but I am right now in the middle of carrying the cell phone bill on the state Senate floor. Yes, Mr. Jackson. No. I'm a Democrat, Mr. Jackson. I'm a Democrat. I am not a communist. I really am a Democrat. Mr. Jackson, before you get too angry, please, I just want you to understand what this bill does. Actually, Mr. Jackson, I really should call you back. I can't call you back? Why can't I call you back? You're driving? Where are you driving, Mr. Jackson? You're on the freeway. Okay. Well, I'll try to be quick, Mr. Jackson. This bill, all it would do is ban the use of handheld mobile communication devices, that's cell phones, if you don't have a hands-free device. Now, do you have a hands-free? Oh, you're not using one. Okay. They're banned. The punishment would be a Class D traffic violation, which is a $90 fine. I know you can't afford it, Mr. Jackson, so the solution is to get a hands-free device, and then you wouldn't be in any trouble. Yes, they can stop you just for doing it. You don't have to get in a wreck or swerve or anything. It's a primary offense. I know, Mr. Jackson, but you have to understand that I'm hearing a lot of honking. Is everything okay? Where are you driving? You must be speeding. Oh, you're going 45? What lane are you in? You're in the left lane going 45, Mr. Jackson? Really, please, concentrate on your driving. I know it's impossible. We already thought of that, Mr. Jackson. If you have to make an emergency call, that's allowed. There's also exceptions for work-related situations. If you're doing it part of a road crew, transit drivers, tow trucks, and it also exempts ham radio operators. Yeah, so there's a lot of exemptions. These amendments were put in to accommodate public safety, training, and emergency service communications. I'm reading right here from my statement, whether paid or volunteer. Mr. Jackson, I have never heard this many curse words all in a row. What just happened here? Oh, you missed your exit? Well, I'm sure you'll be able to turn around, Mr. Jackson, but you are a perfect example of why we need this bill. Drivers talking on cell phones, according to peer-reviewed studies, are 4 times more likely to get into a crash, Mr. Jackson. Yes, that's true. I know you're a good driver, but it's like driving legally drunk. It really is. No, I'm not accusing you of being a drunk, Mr. Jackson. All I'm saying is that your reflexes, your stopping time, are just the same as if you were legally drunk. And do you ever use your text function on your phone? You do. Well, you're 6 times more likely to get in an accident when you're texting. That's the truth, Mr. Jackson. And that's why we need this bill. Because 80% of the 270 million cell phone users here in the United States talk while they're driving, just like you're doing, Mr. Jackson. And 19% report that they text while they're driving. That's truly frightening. In fact, drivers talking on cell phones account for 2,600 deaths and 330,000 injuries in the United States every year, Mr. Jackson. That is why we need this bill. Mr. Jackson, I hear a lot of sirens. I hear honking. What is going on? There's a car going the wrong way. There are 100 cars going the wrong way. Mr. Jackson, are you okay? Colleagues, please vote yes on House Bill 2377.
Senator Dingfelder.
Okay, thank you. That's a hard act to follow. So, colleagues, I rise in support of this bill. I would like to speak to the bill. And I, as many of you know, that I am the good representative or senator from Lane and Douglas County. Oops, I demoted him. I spend a lot of time in the saddle, so to speak, and as a matter of fact, we were out last night enjoying the beautiful evening and biking through Salem area, and we witnessed, as we were sitting there at a red light, a gentleman on his cell phone who made a turn with one hand with the cell phone on his ear, the other on, and almost got into a collision right in front of us while we were witnessing this whole thing, and it was basically he wasn't paying attention, he was on his cell phone. As a cyclist, I unfortunately have near misses more often than I would like to admit. And I will share with you a story that came to my attention just recently. You may have heard that not too long ago, a Bend cyclist was hit while riding in a bike lane by a motorist checking his cell phone. He was seriously injured. He's still in the hospital in Bend. And the gentleman, he was very seriously injured. And he was struck and thrown onto the hood of a pickup truck. The driver told investigators that he drifted into the bike lane while glancing at his cell phone. He is at the St. Charles Medical Center where he's been there in rehab. It's very unfortunate. He has been cited for careless driving and failure to yield to a bike in a bike lane. But colleagues, this is a very, very serious incident, and this happens more often than we would like to know. And obviously, it's not just cyclists that can get endangered, but pedestrians and other drivers. So I would like to urge your support of this very important bill. I sponsored a similar bill here in the Senate, but since there was a very good bill coming over the House, I decided to support that one instead. So I urge your vote.
Recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, this is a really stupid bill, to say the least. I mean, it is a stupid bill. We're talking about distracted driving. Somebody could swerve because they dropped a piece of paper on the seat next to them. Somebody could have swerved because they reached for a McDonald's fry and couldn't find the ketchup. The other day I was driving and a lady had a dog in her lap with its head out her window. You want to talk about distracted driving? This is an issue of distracted driving, and there are already laws on the books. If you violate the law, you violate the law. To single out cell phones as the only bad thing people do when they're driving is absurd. People do a zillion things that are distracted driving. My wife puts on her makeup while she's driving. Now tell me that's safe. Sorry, honey, had to out you on that one. But colleagues, this bill's been before us, and it's been before us, and it's been before us. If people violate the rules of the road, they should be cited. If somebody swerves out of their lane, they should be cited. It should be the action, not the cause of the action. And quite honestly, for all of the bad things, and I would submit, colleagues, if I have a Bluetooth in my ear and I'm in an earnest conversation, I will be just as distracted as if I was holding my cell phone to my ear. This is a stupid bill. This is more nanny state. Let's leave the people of Oregon alone, for God's sakes.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, this bill came through the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs, where it was amended, and I want to clarify that this concern was addressed. There were several amateur radio operators, also known as ham radios, who came into the committee and testified about the difference in using a ham radio versus the difference in using a cell phone. Ham radios are basically you push one button to talk, and you listen. It's not a dialing a device like a typical cell phone. So I just want to clarify that the bill was amended. It does not include ham radio or amateur radio operators. Colleagues, some of you may know I commute every day from the Portland area. Yesterday when I was driving down, there was one of our Senate colleagues right behind me, whose name will be not mentioned, on a cell phone. And there was one of our House colleagues in front of me, whose name will not be mentioned, on a cell phone. Colleagues, most of you, if not all of you, do talk on your cell phones while you're driving. I have a confession to make. I occasionally do that as well. And it's not safe. We shouldn't be doing it, and I want to pass this law as an incentive for ourselves so that we can have that law behind us to say, this is something that's not a safe practice. Let's stop doing it. Connect to Bluetooth. It's not that hard. You don't have to be tech savvy. So let's pass this law for our own safety and for the safety of our constituents and the people who are around us on the road. Thank you, Madam President.
Good afternoon, colleagues. I was not going to speak to this bill, but I do have a constituent who has a letter on the floor with underneath my name, letterhead, and it's dated April 16, 2009. A mother's plea, put down your phone and save a life. Cell phones pose a real threat to those on the road, driven to distraction March 19th. How would you feel if you were talking to your son or daughter while they were driving and then you heard a crash? The scene of the accident was so close to home that you got in your car and drove to see what happened, only to find the vehicle that they were driving was on fire and that they were still in it. This is how it happened. A 19-year-old dropped her cell phone, tried to pick it up, lost control, sideswiped another car, went across the center line and struck an SUV with four people inside. The SUV was returning from church and had my daughter and son-in-law in the front seat and my two grandsons in the back seat. All of them had seat belts on. The van came across the center median when airborne and hit my daughter's car head-on. My daughter was killed. My son-in-law and grandsons were taken to the ICU with internal injuries, and it was all because of a cell phone. I am begging parents and young adults to be advised of the dangers that the use of cell phones can result in. Studies have shown that young adults take their eyes off the road while using the cell phone for 30 seconds at a time. I hope and pray that no family will have to share the experience I am living with. By sharing my story, I hope I can even help one person out there. This is a letter written by Peggy Tucker, who lives in Canby, Oregon, my hometown, and I know that I believe she is here today, and I wanted just to share the letter on her behalf. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, Senator, you wish to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just very briefly, it's true that this has been considered in previous sessions. In fact, the leading bill last session was actually my bill. But the use of cell phones and the use of cell phones that do so many things is increasing so much that we just have to get a handle on it now. Both Washington and California are among the seven states that have these laws in effect now. It's a reasonable thing to ask drivers to use that extra bit of caution, to have both their hands on the wheel when they are driving. And because it's not just the drivers who are at stake, it's the innocent victims. In my spoof with Mr. Jackson, luckily both he and his potential victims were imaginary, but the scenario was all too real, and it can happen at any time. People on their cell phones truly are impaired in a physiological way, no matter how good a driver they are, and it's really time to adopt this very, very important traffic safety measure for the sake not only of the people who will not use their cell phones because of this and help save their own lives, but for all the innocent lives who will also be saved. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, sir. Senator Mona Sanderson has demanded a call of the Senate. She is joined by Senator Burdick and Senator Rosenbaum. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
here.
Ms. Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All members subject to the call are present. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2377. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr.
No.
Telfer.
No.
Berger.
Yes.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson.
No.
Bates. President Courtney. Excused. Winters, voting no.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got 16.
Excused.
House Bill
Winters.
2377 having received a constitution. Go ahead.
Excused. Winters, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Johnson, Cruz, Mons Anderson, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett.
House Bill 2377 has received a constitutional majority declared passed. Senator Starr, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please proceed.
Mr. President, I voted against that cell phone bill because I trust NHTSA more than I trust other studies. Mr. President, go to the NHTSA website, and NHTSA's own website tells us that the data is insufficient on driving with cell phones to determine whether or not the crashes are caused by cell phones only. Though they do say, Mr. President, that distraction, overall distraction, which we already have a law against, is the cause of about 25% of crashes. But there's the data, according to NHTSA, is insufficient. That's why I voted no. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5003, Financial Administration Commission for the Blind, Appropriate Money, Going Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Vicky Walker.
Whoa.
And let's have it a little quiet for Senator Walker to carry the bill, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5003 is the budget bill for the Commission for the Blind. The mission of the Commission is to assist blind Oregonians in making informed choices and decisions to achieve full inclusion and integration in society through employment, independent living, and social self-sufficiency. The Commission hasn't been doing so well at some of those things lately, but the Commission provides employment counseling, technology services, resources for businesses, training, supported employment programs, public education, and small business opportunities. The Commission is a 7-member board appointed by the Governor. The agency's programs are focused on 2 main objectives: employment and independence. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means to approve a total budget of $15,976,671, which includes $1,513,682 in general fund, $2,534,109 in other funds, $11,928,880 in federal funds, and 51 positions, or 47.6 FTE. The approved budget is a 1.7% decrease from the 2007-09 legislatively approved budget. The approved budget includes a package to eliminate 3 positions and reduce the agency's services and supplies and special payments budgets. The approved budget also includes reductions to the agency's general fund budget, including additional reductions in special payments. Federal limitation is added to the Commission's budget to fund the reinstatement of three positions as limited duration that were included in the agency's revenue reduction package. However, the majority of the federal stimulus money received by the Commission is devoted to special payments. Approximately $49,000 in other funds expenditure limitation is added to the Commission's budget to provide the 10% match requirement to receive the federal funding for the older, blind, and independent living programs. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved the agency's existing performance measures, and this senator made some comments about the Commission, and it has some significant problems. It is going to require the governor to review the membership of that commission, actually the director, and we are going to have to make sure that we are delivering the services that we expect. I encourage you to read the Secretary of State audit on this measure because you will be amazed at some of the things that were undertaken in this budget, let me say. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5003 as amended. I would encourage an aye vote as we continue to deliver the services that are needed by blind Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 5003. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mazenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. President Courtney. Excuse. Starr. Winters. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. George. 25 ayes.
House Bill 5003, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5007, Defense Administration over Criminal Justice Commission, Property Money Court Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5007A is the budget bill for the Criminal Justice Commission. This nine-member commission's primary purpose is to develop and maintain a statewide criminal justice policy and comprehensive long-range plan for a coordinated criminal justice system. The Commission provides data and other information to the legislature, state agencies, and local governments. In addition, the Commission administers a grant program for drug courts. The Joint Ways and Means Committee approved a budget for this agency of $18.9 million total funds and $6.1 million general fund. The budget includes the transfer of the Byrne Justice Assistant grants from the state police to the commission, including the $10.6 million that is expected at this time to be distributed to grantees during 2009-11. As part of this transfer, four positions are added. Two analyst positions are transferred from the state police to provide the program administration of the grant program, while two financial positions are added to provide the financial reporting and oversight work for the grant program, as well as the budget and accounting activities for the agency. These financial positions replace work previously done by the Department of Corrections and state police. Reductions were made to this budget to meet the revenue constraints in the overall state budget. A research analyst position is eliminated, while portions of the funding for other positions are shifted to federal or other funds resources. The budget also includes a reduction in the drug court grant program of $853,207 general fund, or by approximately 17%. And that did give the committee some angst. but we had no choice. An increase in the federal funds expenditure limitation of an equal amount is provided for with the expectation the Commission will use existing grant funds or seek further federal grants to backfill this reduction. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends passage of House Bill 5007A.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. President. The CJC does very excellent work. I voted no in committee, and I'll vote no here on the floor today because of the $1.6 million approximately that we reduced from CJC. $850,000 came from the drug courts. Hopefully, some of that money will be backfilled with the federal fund grants, but we have no assurance of that. And the loss of $850,000 from drug courts is just something that I can't vote for. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now rises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 5007. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Marzinerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney. Excuse. Starr, Winters, voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Telfer, Whitsett. 22 ayes.
House Bill 5007, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5010, Professor Administration, Employment Department, Permanent and Clear Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5010A is the budget bill for the Employment Department. Comes to you from your Ways and Means Committee with a unanimous recommendation. The total funds involved in the unemployment budget are nearly $3 billion, nearly 1,500 FTE. This includes a bit of general fund money, a little over $3 million, for regulation and inspection of child care facilities. As you all know, the unemployment rate has jumped substantially since the governor came out with his budget. So the Ways and Means Committee has recommended packages to adjust revenues to reflect a slowdown in economic activity, adjustments in expenditures and FTE to accommodate the increase in caseload for both unemployment insurance and business employment service programs. Further adjustments will probably be needed to reflect the forecast change between March and May. The budget also includes increases in federal funding and additional funding from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act for child care quality improvements. Unemployment Insurance Administration extended and increased benefit levels, Workforce Oregon Centers, which assist the unemployed. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5010. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monsenderson. Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters, voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Starr, 26 ayes.
House Bill 5010, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5011, Prevention Administration Employment Relations Board, Proclaiming the Current Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Betsy Johnson on House Bill 5011.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the Ways and Means Committee brings you the budget bill for the Employment Relations Board. The agency is responsible for administering specific portions of Oregon's collective bargaining and labor relations laws. There is a staff of 13. They provide mediation services to state and local government employers. They hear and decide unfair labor practice complaints, personnel appeals, and contested representation elections. And the three-member Labor Relations Board acts as the state's labor appeal court for labor and management disputes within state government. The agency is funded with a combination of general fund and other funds from fees for service and assessments on state agencies. The subcommittee recommends a budget that the legislative fiscal office The subcommittee recommends the Legislative Fiscal Office recommended budget of $1,773,332 general fund and $1,808,088 other funds. The subcommittee recommendation includes the ratification of administrative fees and fees for service increased via administrative rule during the 07-09 interim and policy packages to maintain a legal subscription service not available through the state or local law libraries. And finally, to replace computers per the recommended replacement guidelines. Also, to shift funding for a portion of the position from fee revenues to assessment revenue, and to continue reductions enacted as part of the 07-09 budget rebalance, consisting of a reduction of 0.25 FTE for each of the positions, a mediator position, and an administrative law judge position, resulting in general fund savings. We also recommend the approval of $8,786 in general fund for additional personal services expenses attributed to the statewide adjustments to the classification of an administrative law judge in the 07-09 interim. Your Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of House Bill 5011 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5011. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney. Excuse, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
House Bill 5011, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5012, Financial Administration, Employment Relations Board, and Declared Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Johnson on Senator House Bill 5012. Pinch hitting.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5012, colleagues, ratifies fees adopted by the Employment Relations Board in the 07-09 interim, consistent with the Ways and Means Committee's recommendations on the agency budget. Fee increases in House Bill 5012 include the subscription rate for board orders, the per-page costs of transcripts and documents, costs for recording of hearings, costs for copying, filing by facsimile, and the hourly charges for training in interest-based bargaining. The fees, which are the subject of this bill, have not been increased since 1994, 1996, and 2000. The new fee structure will cover the agency's cost of providing information or service and are expected to amount to $14,630 in additional revenue in the 09-11 biennium. Your Ways and Means Committee recommends House Bill 5012 be approved as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5012. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munz Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney. Excuse, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Farioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
House Bill 5012, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5016, with the Administration of State Department of Geology, Mineral Industries, Permanent Money Court Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5016 is a budget bill for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. The Department is the state's primary source of information for geological minerals and hazards. It's also responsible for administering surface mining regulations. The committee approved a budget of $12.9 million and 36.58 full-time equivalent positions. This funding level is a 4.3% decrease from last session's approved budget. This budget includes $2.95 million other funds and $0.5 million lottery funds for continuation of light detection and ranging, also known as LIDAR mapping, and one limited duration position for database coordination. Consistent with the co-chair's budget plan, the committee made $0.4 million in general fund reductions, which includes closing the Grants Pass office and co-locating the Baker City office with local government, relocating professional staff to the Portland office, eliminates two support staff positions, and transfers positions from general fund to federal funds. The committee approved the agency's performance measures, which includes replacing a hazard awareness measure with a hazard preparedness measure. The Joint Committee recommends approval of House Bill 5016 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wish to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
Thank you, Mr. President. This agency regulates a business in which I have a direct interest. Thank you.
The conflict will be noted for the record. Further discussion? Not the question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5016. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munz Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, President Courtney, not answering, Schrader. Excused, Boquist, Przonsky, Whitsett, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, George, Cruz, Starr, 22 ayes.
House Bill 5016, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5019, Revenge Administration, Housing and Community Services Department, Permanent Money Court Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5019 is the budget bill for the Oregon Housing and Community Services. It comes to you from your full Ways and Means Committee with a unanimous recommendation. This budget is a total of about $2 billion with 147 FTE. There were reductions made in general fund support of $2.6 million and also elimination of 15.5 permanent positions. Some add back in the energy and weatherization area to accommodate growth in weatherization and bill payment assistance. There's also a provision in this budget to assist mobile home parks that are in danger of being converted to market rate housing. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Mr. President, to the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. President, I rise in strong opposition to this bill. This is the budget bill for an agency that has gone missing in Southern Oregon. This is an agency that came to the Oregon State Senate in last February asking for a very important consideration on a bill that would have to do with their need to work with local communities on low-income housing. And they begged, and they came around, and they lobbied, and they had a tour de force of the agency director and three of their top lobbyists, all talking to all 30 of us, saying that this had to be done right now, immediately. At that same time, I was having a very large problem with a constituent and a city government that was being rough to this particular constituent simply because they could. They were extorting money out of my constituent based around low-income housing. Basically, a citizen did the right thing, and the city of Medford was trying to extort money out of them. It was a big issue, some of you may recall. The agency got, I made sure and tied the agency in charge of all this stuff to their budget need, and my bill ultimately failed, and their bill ultimately passed out of their incredible ability to lobby their own government. And they made all these assurances. Senator Atkinson will be there. Senator Atkinson will help you work this out. Senator Atkinson will do what we can. Senator Atkinson, I'm sure we can find a solution. And Senator Atkinson stood with an empty bag from March until now, well, let's see, 14 months, 15 months later, when they've done absolutely nothing. They have been recalcitrant to work with. They are an embarrassment to work with. I would never ask any of my colleagues here on the Senate floor, if you had an issue that needed the help of the housing department, to actually call them. It's quicker not to call them and to work on it yourself. I cannot, in good conscience, urge anyone to vote for this agency when they have left people of Southern Oregon out hanging to dry while they were, I don't know, collecting and counting their budget in Portland. This is a bad agency who needs to be taught a lesson. I would urge a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not Senator Monroe. Do you wish to close?
Oh, sir.
You do? He does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5019. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, President Courtney, excused, Boquist, Przonski, Whitsett, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, George, Cruz, 23 ayes.
House Bill 5019, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation.
Please proceed.
The no vote was the correct vote. The fact that this thing just passed just ensured bad actors will continue. It's really too bad.
Thank you, Senator Kirkland. The next bill.
House Bill 5021, Financial Administration Commission of Judicial Fitness and Disability, Department of Medical Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Mr. Chair, I'm standing in for Senator Whitsett, who's in a conference committee. House Bill 5021 is the budget for the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. The commission, which has jurisdiction over approximately 395 state judges, investigates and acts upon complaints of judicial misconduct or disability. The commission's budget of $181,048. Colleagues, $181,048 general fund provides for one permanent part-time position, 0.50 FTE. The commission's budget includes a $9,529 or 5% reduction from its essential budget level. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means also approved the commission's key performance measures. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of this very tiny budget, House Bill 5021, as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5021. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, President Courtney. Excused. Boquist, Przonski, Whitsett, Winters. Voting no. Atkinson, George. 24 ayes.
House Bill 5021, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5023, Defense Administration Department of Justice, Court of Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Yeah. Oops, excuse me. Which one is this? 5023. That's what I thought. I'm seeing the wrong number up there. Okay, we are good to go. This bill ratifies three fee increases implemented by administrative rule by the Department of Justice during the 2007 interim. Absent this bill, state law requires that fee increases adopted administratively would be rescinded on July 1, 2009, which is just around the corner, or upon sine die, which is even probably closer around the corner. The agency increased three fees relating to late charges when a charitable organization fails to file a required report. The late fees range from $20 when the required report is not filed by the due date and an extension has not been requested, to $100 if the report is past due more than 16 months after the close of the report year. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5023.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please declare your conflict.
My spouse is employed by the Department of Justice.
Thank you, Senator. It will be noted for the record. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5023. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. President Courtney. Not answering. Przonski.
Przonski.
Not answering. Cruz.
Oh, okay.
Excused. Burdick. Winters. Voting no. Atkinson. Ferrioli. George. Cruz. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. 21 ayes.
House Bill 5023, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill. Oh, Senator Cruz, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, vote explanation.
Please proceed.
Mr. President, I get so tired of these agencies increasing their fees and then always expecting us to bail them out. At some point in time, we ought to tell them no, so they come to us first.
Thank you, Senator. Clerk, will read the next bill.
House Bill 5026, from the Finance Minister of the State Library, Department of Economic Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5026 is the budget bill for the State Library. The State Library provides informational services to the state government, provides reading material to the blind and print disabled Oregonians, and grants and assistance to local libraries. The Ways and Means Committee recommends a total funds budget of $15,545,954 and 42.46 FTEs. The committee recommends general fund support in the amount of $3,447,239. The Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of House Bill 5026 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading. Final passage of House Bill 5026. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Munson-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum. Schrader.
Aye.
Starr. Telfer.
Aye.
Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, President Courtney. Excused. Burdick, Winters. Voting no. Atkinson, George, Cruz. 25 ayes.
House Bill 5026, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5028, the Finch Administration Long-Term Care Ombudsman, Appropriate Medical Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5028 is the budget bill for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. The agency recruits and trains local volunteers to help it identify, investigate, and resolve non-abuse complaints made by or on behalf of residents in long-term care facilities. The agency also advocates for a system of changes that promote and protect the rights and interests of these residents. General fund and federal matching funds support the agency's operation. Most of the general fund is used to match federal funds through the Department of Human Services. Department of Human Services transfers the general fund and matching federal funds back to the agency where it is budgeted as other funds. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a $3.2 million total funds budget with 11 positions, 10.5 FTE. This budget contains two deputy state long-term care ombudsman positions phased in during the 07-09 biennium, but restructures the agency to improve volunteer recruitment and retention. The restructuring eliminates the agency's deputy position and adds a full-time volunteer recruitment and management position. It makes other personnel and expenditure adjustments to reflect changing job duties and contracted support services. These changes do not add costs or position authority. With this restructuring, the agency expects to improve its timeliness in responding to complaints and resolving cases and increase the number of volunteers' visits to long-term care facilities across the state. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5028.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 5028. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Munson-Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
No.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass,
President Courtney. President Courtney.
President Courtney.
Excused, Burdick, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Telfer, 22 ayes.
House Bill 5028, having received a constitutional majority, is declared to pass. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5033, the National Administration of State Parks and Recreation Department, declared emergency.
Very busy over in the far corner. Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, your Ways and Means Committees are very busy. House Bill 5033 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Parks and Recreation Department. The Parks and Recreation Department manages the state's campgrounds, day use areas, and waysides, you know, where you go to enjoy the Oregon coast and take a little potty break. In addition, the department operates programs relating to ocean shores, scenic rivers, recreational trails, and historic preservation. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a total budget of $203 million and 600.89 FTE. That would be full-time equivalent. The budget is decreased by $14.4 million from the 2009-11 essential budget level. The budget reflects realignment of revenues and expenditures to balance to the May 2009 lottery fund and other fund fees revenue forecast. Lottery funds are projected to be $19 million lower than the 2009-11 essential budget level, and other funds' fee revenue is projected to be $17.5 million lower, including revenues from a proposal to increase fees to bring camping and day use fees to market rates. In addition, the budget reclassifies 14 positions and establishes 4.0 FTE at no net cost by reducing 4.10 vacant FTE to finance the established positions and reclassifications addressing position issues following an internal audit initiated by the department during the 2007-09 biennium. The bill also increases the off-highway all-terrain vehicle safety program by $3.3 million. Transfers $1 million to the Department of Forestry from the OHV/ATV account to fund positions dedicated to OHV/ATV trail operation and maintenance in the Tillamook State Forest so you all can keep running those ATVs. Shifts $2.7 million lottery funds from land acquisitions program and $2.3 million from the lottery fund beginning balance to facility investments to focus on investments on programs that will create or sustain jobs in the current economy. This was critical to members of our subcommittee that we focus on job-creating projects. The bill also increases the federal funds expenditure limitation to reflect $2.6 million federal stimulus monies and a $2 million land acquisition grant through NOAA. And finally, House Bill 5033 makes several technical adjustments to carry forward expenditure limitation for obligated projects that will not pay out until the 2009-11 biennium. The committee reviewed the agency's performance measures and approved continuation of 8 measures, deletion of 7, and replacing 3 of the 7 deleted measures with new measures so we can keep them all busy telling us how they perform. This committee listened to this budget extensively. We appreciate their hard work, and the full Ways and Means Committee recommends House Bill 5033 be approved.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5033. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their name are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes-Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, President Courtney. Yes.
Excused, Boquist, Brzozinski, Schrader, Whitsett, Winters. Voting no, Atkinson, George, Cruz. 22 ayes.
House Bill 5033, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5035, Relief Prevention Administration, State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, Appropriate Money Clear Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5035 is the budget bill for the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. The Board has release authority over approximately 10% of the inmates in the custody of the Department of Corrections and jurisdiction over more than 27,000 offenders. The Board is responsible for setting conditions of supervision for all offenders releasing from prison and for issuing orders related to offenders' transition to and supervision in the community. The Board consists of three members who are appointed by the Governor for four-year terms. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a total budget of $3,757,400, which includes $3,742,352 in general funds and $10,048 in other funds, and 15 positions, 15 FTE. The approved budget is a 9.5% decrease from the 2009-11 essential budget level. The approved budget maintains the agency's essential budget level minus a reduction of general funds as follows. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a package to reduce the agency's general fund budget, including reductions in both attorney general usage and the number of board-ordered psychological evaluations. These reductions total $395,711. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved the agency's existing performance measures. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommend approval of House Bill 5035.
Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5035. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer ayes. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Metzger. Aye. Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney, excused, Boquist, Burdick, Brzozinski, Whitsett, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, George, Cruz, 22 ayes.
House Bill 5035, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5038, the Defense Administration, Oregon State Police, and Court Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Oh, righty. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5038 ratifies three fee increases implemented by administrative rule by the state fire marshal during the 2007 interim. Absent this bill, state law requires that fee increases adopted administratively would be rescinded on July 1, 2009 or upon sine die. The agency increased three fees relating to the fireworks program. Fees are increased for the wholesale fireworks permit, the public display fireworks permit, and the retail fireworks permits. All those things for the 4th of July, folks, are going to cost you a little bit more money. These fees were last raised in 2003, and I want the good senator from southwestern Oregon to understand that's why the agency had to do it administratively, because we were too wimpy to allow an increase in their fees since 2003. So without these fee increases, it is likely the program will have to be further reduced. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5038.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5038. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer ayes. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates,
Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, President Courtney. Excused, Boquist, Przonski, Whitsett, Winters. Voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telford, 19 ayes.
House Bill 5038, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5039, the Financial Administration Psychiatric Security Review Board, Permanent Medical Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5039 is the budget bill for the Psychiatric Security Review Board. The board maintains jurisdiction over adults found to be guilty except for insanity of a crime. The board's juvenile panel has jurisdiction over youth found responsible except for insanity who have a serious mental condition or who present danger to themselves or others. The board's primary purpose is to protect the public through the ongoing review of the progress of those placed under its jurisdiction and determination of their appropriate treatment. Placement. Placement options include commitment to a secure forensic ward at the state hospital, conditional release to a highly structured and supervised program of the community, or discharge from jurisdiction. NG operations are funded with general fund. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a budget of $1,415,071 total funds and 5 full-time equivalent positions. No policy packages were approved, nor were any general fund reductions. The committee approved the agency's performance measure without any changes. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5039 as amended.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5039. Those with the opinion, the bill should pass. Will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Juan Anderson, President Courtney,
yes.
Excused, Bonamici, Przonski, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, 19 ayes.
House Bill 5039, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5048, with the Financial Administration, Department of Veterans Affairs, for the Medical Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5048 is the budget bill for the Department of Veterans Affairs. It comes to you from your full Ways and Means Committee with a unanimous recommendation. The Department of Veterans Affairs basically operates 3 programs. It provides mortgage loans to qualified veterans. It provides counseling and claims service, as well as conservatorship services, and emergency and educational aid to veterans. And it operates the Oregon Veterans Home, located in the Dalles. The budget includes general fund reductions to help address the state's general fund revenue shortfall, but it does not reduce funding for the department's core counseling and assistance programs. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, to the bill. I don't know it in time of war why we would decrease this budget at all.
Is there further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5048. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson.
Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, President Courtney. Excused, Bonamici, Przanski, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, George, 25 ayes.
House Bill 5048, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. We may be losing a couple of members in a moment, so if there is no objection, I would like to move House Bill 2222 to the head of the calendar. If not, the clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2222, the State Department of Fish and Wildlife, and subscribe after the date.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Mr. Chair, right to the head of the class. House Bill 2222A increases the surcharge paid on sport angler's licenses and commercial vessel permits used to support the Department of Fish and Wildlife's Restoration and Enhancement Program and extends the sunset on surcharges to December 31, 2019. Where I will be much older. The R&E program helps restore state-owned fish hatcheries, enhance natural fish production, expand hatchery production, and provide additional public access to fishing waters. The R&E program is overseen by a 7-member board made up of recreational and commercial fishermen, very balanced. The program also provides increased recreational fishing opportunities and supports and improves the commercial salmon fishery. In the 2007-09 biennium, the R&E program funded 14 access projects, 22 research and monitoring projects, 5 passage projects, and 15 hatchery equipment projects. The bill maintains current other funds revenue in the Restoration and Enhancement Fund by extending the sunset and increases other funds revenues by $2,361,233 through increases to surcharge amounts. Revenues collected will be used to continue funding for 2.5 existing positions and for projects that restore state-owned fish hatcheries, enhance natural fish production, expand hatchery production, and improve commercial salmon fisheries. I think I said that, but I said it again. So the Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2222A.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Ms. President and colleagues. As we have watched our hatcheries become dilapidated, as we have watched ODF&W totally ignore their wild fish policy, and yet each session we come with a budget that's supposed to enhance fisheries, supposed to do this for hatcheries and that for hatcheries. At the end of the day, the money gets diverted to other things. If this money actually went where it was supposed to be, I might support it, but it probably won't, so I won't.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Senator Walker, do you wish to close?
Well, only to say, Mr. Chair, that with me on their tail, ODF&W runs the straight and narrow. So I think we're going to keep our real close eye on them. And I'd like to request a call of the Senate as well. Thank you.
Senator Walker has demanded a call of the Senate. She is joined by Senator Montes Anderson and Senator Rosenbaum. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All members subject to the call are present. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2222. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, President Courtney. Excused, Bonamici, Boquist, Brzezinski, Winters, voting no, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Whitsett. 19 ayes.
House Bill 2222, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. We'll now return to the regular reading on the calendar, House Bill 2149, and the clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2149, Aviation Court Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2149 increases the registration fees for each of the existing 9 categories of civil aircraft and creates a 10th category of single-engine fixed-wing turboprop. The fee increases range from $3 to $188 per year. The Department of Aviation's budget, that's Senate Bill 5504, which I had the privilege of carrying last week, assumes passage of this bill, which is estimated to generate an additional $142,330 in the 09-11 biennium. These fees support department operations and provide the state match for the Federal Airport Improvement Program funds. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2149 as amended. Just as another note, colleagues, it was relayed to us in the committee that the industry supports these fees increases. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Out of an abundance of conflict, I rise to declare a potential conflict of interest. My husband is in the aviation business. As pilots and aircraft owners, we're subject to regulation by this department, and my husband's business is at an airport that could conceivably receive federal grant money.
Thank you, Senator. Your conflict will be noted. Question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2149. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, President Courtney. Not answering. Carter. Excused. Bonamici, Boquist, Carter, Brzezinski, Winters. Voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Telfer. 19 ayes.
House Bill 2149, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2151, Aviation Court Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2150 increases initial pilot registration fees from $8 to $12, a $4 increase, and renewal fees from $16 to $24, an $8 increase. Every pilot operating within Oregon is required to register with the Department of Aviation within 60 days of issuance of any appropriate federal certificate, permit, rating, or license relating to competency as a pilot. The Department of Aviation's budget, again, that's Senate Bill 5504, assumes passage of this bill, which is estimated to generate an additional, get this, $38,315 in the 09-11 biennium. These fees support a search and rescue program jointly operated by the Oregon Military Department, an important program. Colleagues, the Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2150 as amended. And again, we were informed in the committee that the basically the industry or the Oregon Pilots Association supports the increase. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Declare a potential conflict of interest as I am nearly a pilot and I don't support the bill.
Thank you, Senator. We'll note that for the record. Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Out of an abundance of caution, I rise to declare a potential conflict of interest. As pilots and aircraft owners, my husband and I are subject to regulation by the agency. I used to run the agency. My husband has an aviation business located at an airport that could be a potential recipient of federal improvement funds.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not. The question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2150. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney, President Courtney. Excused, Bonamici, Boquist, Carter, Przonski, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Telfer, 20 ayes.
Senator Walker, you need to be recognized before the gavel.
I do, Mr. Chair, thank you. I was in the phone booth changing into my Superwoman outfit. I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
Both my daughter and her significant other are licensed pilots and could be impacted by this bill. Thank you.
You'll be noted for the record. House Bill 2150, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2178, the Veterans Service Officers' Court Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Presiding Officer. House Bill 2178 comes to you with the unanimous support from your Ways and Means Committee. It creates the Campus Veterans Service Officers Program in the Department of Veterans Affairs. Purpose of this program is to assist student veterans by placing veteran service officers directly on our college campuses. These officers will work to ensure that our student veterans obtain the maximum amount of state and federal benefits available to them. They'll also be available to provide general counseling services to our student veterans. The bill requires the department to serve all students at all of Oregon's community college and OUS campuses. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do need to correct the statement of the carrier. It was not a unanimous vote. I was a no. And I was a no vote because a very dear friend of mine, Mr. Robert Thornhill, who is a Korean War veteran, had objected to this bill. And I had meant to get in touch with him, and time went away from me. But Mr. Thornhill's objection was that we have plenty of help for veterans in our university system right now. He felt that we should put more money into providing them more education dollars. I read the bill again. I've read his letter again. And while I appreciate his heart, and his concern, because he is just a tremendous veteran who's assisted me on a lot of great legislation for allowing returning veterans to go back to school for free, for in classes that are not filled. We've worked very closely together. I'm going to have to support this bill because I truly believe it is good legislation, and I hope he forgives me for casting an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Monroe, you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to apologize to the good senator from Eugene, I didn't look closely enough at that green sheet and see that little end there, and I do remember her comments before full Ways and Means, and the individual, the constituent that she spoke of, we did take testimony from that individual in our subcommittee, listened very carefully to him, and just decided that we did not agree. So I still urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2178. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, President Courtney. Excused, Bonamici, Boquist, Johnson, Przonski, Winters, 25 ayes.
House Bill 2178, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2182 and small-scale local energy projects.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill, whoops, which one are we on?
2182.
Roll the tape. Roll, baby, roll. Okay, House Bill 2182A expands the kinds of alternative fuel projects that are eligible for the Department of Energy's Small-Scale Energy Loan Program, otherwise known as SELP. Currently, vehicle fleets and fueling facilities are eligible for SELP loans. Under the bill, agricultural products will also be eligible, which will better align the loan program with eligibility criteria for the business energy tax credits, even though we sort of redid those the other day. The bill also extends the term of SELP advisory committee members from 2 to 4 years. The SELP program is funded through bond proceeds. It is anticipated this change will increase loans by $10 million per biennium, while debt service and services and supplies associated with the loans are expected to total $1,050,000, other funds non-limited for the 2009-11 biennium. Nominal professional services costs associated with this change are expected to be a mere $2,000. The Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of House Bill 2182A.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2182. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, President Courtney. Excused, Bonamici, Boquist, Morse, Przonski, Winters, 25 ayes.
House Bill 2182, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2185, and state certification in starch and water.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Okie dokie. House Bill 2185A directs the Environmental Quality Commission to establish by rule a revised schedule of fees for State 401 certification under the Federal Water Pollution Control Act that are based on the underlying federal license or permit, project size, and the Department of Environmental Quality's related costs. During the 2009-11 biennium, the Department of Environmental Quality anticipates using existing staff and working with an advisory committee to develop a new 401 certification fee schedule that addresses the issues identified in the bill. Mr. President, don't go away. DEQ... He knows I want to talk to him about something. DEQ anticipates DEQ anticipates implementing a revised fee schedule in the 2011-13 biennium and including this information with the department's 2011-13 budget request. So we will see this again, colleagues. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2185A.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2185. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass once or aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter.
Senator Carter, how do you vote? Senator Carter, how do you vote?
Thank you. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, President Courtney, excused, Bonamici, Boquist, Johnson, Morse, Przonski, Winters, voting no, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett. 20 ayes.
House Bill 2185, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2200, Programs Administering State Building Code and Declaring Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2200 changes boiler and pressure vessel inspection, reinspection, and permit fees. It also aligns the fee process between the elevator and boiler programs to provide building owners with a more consistent process for determining elevator and boiler fees. Because of revenue shortfall, three boiler inspector positions were eliminated in the budget for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. This would have caused a great increase in the backlog of overdue inspections. House Bill 2200 generates the revenue necessary to restore the positions that were eliminated. This includes about a 35% fee increase, permit increase. The permit has not been increased in 8 years. At that time, it was increased by 10%. Without this, we have increasing danger in boilers when they're not inspected. When boilers are not inspected, sometimes they go boom. So this is a public safety, and it is supported by those people that pay the fees. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2200. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass once or aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer.
No.
Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. President Courtney. Excused, Bonamici, Boquist, Johnson, Morse, Przonski, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 18 ayes.
House Bill 2200, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2339, exemptions from disclosure information.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist. He's excused. We'll put that bill to the foot of the calendar. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2303, Sheriffs.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick. Senator Burdick on House Bill 2393.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2393A comes from your Finance and Revenue Committee with a do-pass recommendation. House Bill 2393 increases the fees that sheriffs collect for serving legal documents and performing other civil duties. Some of these fees have not changed since 1981. This bill increases a number of sheriff's service fees as follow. For serving legal documents and performing other civil duties, the fee would increase from the current $28 to $36. The fee for serving an additional party at the same address would increase from $15 to $20. The fee from $47 to $70 for seizure and sale of property pursuant to a writ of execution of judgment, of restitution, or other writ of attachment or execution. The fee for a conveyance of real property from $15 to $30. The fee for delivery of a writ of garnishment from $15 to $25. These fee changes will go into effect on January 1st, 2010. House Bill 2393A also addresses advertising for a sheriff's sale notice. Pending an intergovernmental agreement agreed by all sheriffs in Oregon, House Bill 2393 requires the establishment and maintenance of a website for posting legal notices of writ. House Bill 2393 also provides sheriff's guidance on how to proceed if a notice of garnishment is filed. Finally, House Bill 2393A requires a law enforcement agency seizing certain devices, specifically gambling devices that are considered a public nuisance and fishing equipment where state fish and wildlife laws have been violated, for forfeiture to hold the property rather than delivering it to the sheriff. There's no reason for these items to be delivered to sheriffs. House Bill 2393 makes the seizing agency responsible for storage and disposition and provides a better chain of custody for presenting evidence in a court of law. House Bill 2393A improves processes for sheriffs with regard to their mandated function of service and execution of civil processes, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2393. Those who are the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Walker and Senator Burdick. The doorkeeper will bar the doors. The sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All members subject to the call are present. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2393. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, President Courtney. Excused. Bonamici, Boquist, Johnson, Morse, Przonski, Winters.
Excused. Bonamici, Boquist, Johnson, Morse, Brzezinski, Winters. Voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, Cruz, Starr, Telfer. 19 ayes.
House Bill 2393, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Okay, without objection, I'll move House Bill 2442 to the foot of today's calendar, and we'll move to House Bill 2873, and the clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2873, Public Employee Retirement, declare emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2873, C. Engrossed, which comes from your Committee on Finance and Revenue. And if you would like to control costs under the PERS system, this bill is your chance to do so. There's a long history behind the bill, but the short version is that due to a series of court decisions going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, we must tax state and federal retirees the same. And so as a result of that, in our current statute, if any increase at the top happens in our state income tax system, then all PERS retirees get a corresponding increase in their benefits. So this will delete that language since our top rate is going to be increased, and the bill will take effect immediately in order to prevent that from happening. In addition, you'll notice that there's some other language in the bill that simply corrects a numbering mistake in an earlier bill that we passed. So basically, it's a simple bill, one that's needed, and I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'm standing in opposition to this bill. We've raised the income tax rate on various Oregonians this year. They will have less money in their pockets. This bill, House Bill 2873, allows public employees to have increased revenue if, in fact, they have to pay more in taxes, which allows them to be made whole. They don't have less in their pockets. So it's a no vote against something that is not equal and fair to the rest of the Oregonians that will be paying more in taxes.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Rosenbaum, you wish to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to reiterate my opening that we do need to pass this bill or everyone who is retired under PERS would get an increase in their benefits when our top income tax rate goes up. So that's why I urge your support, and I also ask for a call of the Senate.
Senator Rosenbaum has demanded a call of the Senate. She is joined by Senator Walker and Senator Mona Sanders. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munz Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Are we good to go, Senator Devlin? We're still missing Morris, Johnson, just Johnson. Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
A move to suspend further proceedings under the call.
Okay. Senator Rosenbaum has moved to proceed with the call without objection. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2873. Those are the opinion. The bill should pass. We'll answer ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. President Courtney. Excused. Johnson, Morse, Winters. Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett. 17 ayes.
House Bill 2873, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2990, with child care agencies, Department of Money.
Chair recognizes Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2990 establishes the Private Child Caring Agencies Fund to receive monies from civil penalties on private child caring agencies. The Department of Human Services monitors and oversees 237 private agencies that care for children on a 24-hour-a-day basis, with the exception of hospital-based care. These agencies include transitional living centers, therapeutic boarding schools, private foster care agencies, outdoor youth programs, and academic boarding schools. Many of Oregon's most vulnerable and clinically challenging children are in these programs. This bill will provide resources for increased administration and enforcement of licensing rules to ensure the safety and quality care of children in these agencies. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2990.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2990. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. As the names are called, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, President Courtney. Excused. Johnson, Morse, Winters, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett. 19 ayes.
House Bill 2990, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3650, Oregon Supplemental Income Program.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is a bill that everybody can actually vote for today. House Bill 3065 allows the Department of Human Services to provide non-cash benefits to individuals who receive assistance under the Oregon Supplemental Income Program. That program provides small cash payments or special need allowances to needy individuals who are 65 years of age or older, blind, or disabled. The Department of Human Services now makes cash payments through monthly or annual checks, often for amounts of less than $5. The cost of printing, mailing, tracking, and other administrative work related to the checks exceeds the amount of the cash benefits received. House Bill 3065 would allow DHS to redirect the cash benefits to other more meaningful assistance. This does not reduce overall funding available for program services, but would save administrative costs of almost $1 million of general fund each biennium. DHS budget will be adjusted for these savings in Senate Bill 5529, which we've already seen in full Ways and Means, and the agency's budget bill. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 3065. Colleagues, this bill saves us $1 million. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 3065. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. As the names are called, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett. President Courtney. Excused. Morse, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 3065, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3104, the Information Claim of Veterans Benefits Claim of Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is another in the long line of bills designed to take care of our returning veterans. House Bill 3104 comes to you from your Ways and Means Committee on a 16-0 vote. It requires the Department of Veterans Affairs to establish a website that allows members of the public to enter contact information and request information about veterans' benefits and services. All executive branch agencies are directed to include on their website a link to this outreach website. Veterans Affairs is also required to provide state agencies, county governments, etc., with printed materials to inform individuals about veterans' benefits and services. The fiscal impact of this bill is minimal because the Department of Veterans Affairs currently maintains such a website. This just will hook it up with other agencies. Your full Ways and Means Committee urges a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 3104. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye, or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney. Excused. Morse, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 3104, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3112, on taxation, law, and commitment, prescribing 58.
Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. President. As our economic downturn continues to impact Oregonians, it is more important than ever before that we maintain the viability of small, family-owned businesses in rural Oregon. To this end, House Bill 3112 includes two simple components designed to give the logging industry a desperately needed shot in the arm at a time when it is suffering unlike any other time in its history. Number one, House Bill 3112 defines environmentally sensitive logging equipment to include all logging equipment manufactured after 1992, plus all skyline yarders and carriages of any age. This bill would ensure that equipment originally defined as environmentally sensitive when the exemption was originally passed would continue to be exempt into the future. And also, House Bill 3112 extends the exemption on environmentally sensitive logging equipment through 2018. This bill comes from Senate Finance and Revenue with a unanimous vote and a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as the Executive Director of Malheur Timber Operators, my members have a direct interest in the outcome of this bill. So, Mr. President, I would announce a potential conflict of interest before I vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Your conflict is noted for the record. Further discussion? Not the question now arises. Third reading and final passage of House Bill 3112. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye, or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli,
George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney. Excused, Morse, Winters, 28 ayes.
House Bill 3112, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3114, the psychotropic medications, children, foster care.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3114 requires the Department of Human Services to improve monitoring of psychotropic medications taken by children in foster care. Psychotropic drugs are drugs prescribed to affect or alter thought process, mood or behavior, including antipsychotics, antidepressants, as well as tranquilizers used to relieve anxiety and reduce tension and irritability. I know we all need these today, but we're going to move on here. This bill mandates evaluation by a qualified licensed mental health or medical professional with expertise in children's mental health before a drug is prescribed for the first time or when more than one psychotropic drug is prescribed. In addition, the bill requires annual reviews of medications by another qualified professional other than the prescriber if the child under the age of 6 years or if the child has more than two prescriptions for psychotropic medications. These evaluation reviews and treatments are part of the services delivered by the mental health organizations and are part of the capitation rate. As such, these costs will be funded through current enrollment payments to mental health managed care plans, and there would be minimal physical impact to the Department of Human Services. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 3114, and this is a serious problem. We have a lot of foster kids who have gone through some real emotional trauma. That's why they're in the system. But on the other hand, while they might need one drug or possibly two, some of these children are receiving three, four, and five drugs at the age of 4, 5, and 6 years of age. We're going to end that practice with this bill and make sure it doesn't occur in the future. Thank you very much for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 3114. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, President Courtney, excused, Morse, Winters, 28 ayes.
House Bill 3114, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3225, about Measure 49 claims, coin emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Oh, I love my Senate President. He is so humorous. All right, here we go. House Bill 3225B allows the Department of Land Conservation and Development to process approximately 500 additional claims under Measure 49. These are claims the agency cannot currently consider because claimants did not meet specific filing criteria. Some filing requirements and timelines were confusing to claimants or inconsistently applied across the state, sometimes by local governments. In addition, the bill sets a deadline of June 30, 2010 for final orders to be issued on claims. The bill also allows the department to set up a process for prioritizing and handling hardship claims. The agency is required to follow up on certain claimants who did not file claims or appraisals as expected. A report on this investigation is due to the legislature by the end of 2009. The department's costs associated with this measure are included in the co-chair budget plan for Measure 49. The cost of processing the additional claims is in part mitigated by a $175 fee that would be paid by the claimant. The claimant's happy to pay the fee because that's about how much it would cost them to file a court case. Committee testimony indicated that there is support for this fee among potential claimants. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 3225B.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Now, question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 3225. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Your names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney. Excused. Morse, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 3225, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, House Bill 3237 will be moved to the foot of the calendar. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3300, the Green Economy and Climate Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monroe on House Bill 3300. Senator Monroe on House Bill 3300.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3300B directs the Oregon Workforce Investment Board and the Economic and Community Development Department to develop a green jobs growth initiative for creating and sustaining family wage jobs in Oregon. Green jobs, jobs in industries that focus on energy efficiency, renewable energy, and improving the natural environment offer great economic promise for Oregon, but the state needs to take steps to ensure that these industries can thrive here. HB 3300 addresses two potential impediments to the growth of green industry jobs in this state. The Oregon Workforce Investment Board is charged with identifying green industries with growth potential and identifying the types and skill sets of workers those industries need. The Workforce Investment Board will then identify any existing gaps in the state's workforce training programs that need to be addressed for Oregon to have the workforce that green industries need to grow here. Economic and Community Development Department will review the state's existing strategies for attracting and promoting green industry growth jobs and make recommendations if changes are needed to make Oregon more competitive in attracting these jobs. This bill comes to you from your Ways and Means Committee on a 14-3 vote. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 3300. Those are the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney. Excused, Morse, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
House Bill 3300, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3480, Phone Exchange Facilitators.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Mr. President, House Bill 3484A comes to you from your Rules Committee without opposition. It establishes operating standards and standards of conduct for exchange facilitators. A 1031 exchange is a rollover of equity of like-kind investment properties. Under Section 1031 of the United States Internal Revenue Code, taxpayers may defer payment of taxes by structuring the sale of investment property as an exchange in accordance with IRS regulation. Exchange facilitators, as the name implies, actually facilitate these exchanges, holding funds that would otherwise be subject to taxes when the exchange does not take place simultaneously. Some exchange facilitators are real estate escrow companies regulated by the real estate agency, but many others are not. Exchange facilitators who are not escrow companies are currently not regulated. House Bill 3484A uses model language that has been adopted in substantially similar form in other states to regulate exchange facilitators. House Bill 3484A establishes operating standards and standards of conduct for exchange facilitators, requiring exchange facilitators to maintain the equivalent in assets of at least $1 million. It would also require exchange facilitators to maintain errors and emissions insurance of not less than $250,000. And it requires exchange facilitators to invest exchange funds at the prudent investor standard that satisfies the goals of liquidity and principal preservation. I recommend an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 3484. Those with the opinion the bill should pass once, or ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass, Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson, Monroe,
aye.
Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney. Excused. Morse, Winters, President Courtney. 27 ayes.
House Bill 3484, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2339, exemptions from disclosure of information.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 2339C comes from Committee on Rules on a 4-1. It expands the information exempt for public disclosure of certain public safety officers, district attorneys, deputy district attorneys, prosecutor attorneys, U.S. attorneys, and assistant attorney generals. It has some limitations on it, and it's designed to protect the prosecutors and their families from harm. Good bill should pass.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion on House Bill 2339. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2339. Those who are the opinion the bill should pass will answer ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, President Courtney, excused, Morse, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, George, Cruz, Metzger, Walker, Whitsett, 22 ayes.
House Bill 2339 received a constitutional majority to carry passed. Senator Walker, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please proceed.
I voted no on this bill. I didn't get an opportunity to speak because I was preoccupied, but I think this is way overbroad. We continue to exempt from public disclosure all of these people everywhere around. So pretty soon, everything's going to be exempt, and we're not going to know anything about anybody. I understand people consider it a safety issue, but you know what? You could say that about state legislators. Have you ever been harassed? I have. Right here in the Capitol, we get phone calls in the Capitol, and we have no caller ID, so we don't know who's saying those mean things about us and who wants to threaten us because we have no way to identify them. I just think this is overreaching. We should stop making exemptions from the public disclosure law. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2442, and Care Providers Prevent Medical Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2442 improves Oregon's ability to protect seniors and people with physical disabilities and those with developmental disabilities. Elderly Oregonians and adults with physical and developmental disabilities in long-term care facilities are uniquely vulnerable to abuse. The Department of Human Services serves over 15,000 seniors and people with physical disabilities each month in nursing facilities and community-based care. More than 5,000 children and adults with developmental disabilities are in foster care or residential facilities. This bill will improve the quality of care for these individuals by strengthening the definitions of abuse, requiring better information on potential employees, compelling greater consistency in training and investigations, and improving interagency collaboration when crimes are committed against the vulnerable. The bill increases license fees on long-term care facility and raises civil penalties for facilities where there are incidents of substantiated abuse. The fees and civil penalties will go into the quality care fund to support training, technical assistance, quality improvement, and licensing activities. The bill, as amended, requires a $150,000 payment from the quality care fund to the general fund on June 30, 2011, to replace the general fund revenue that would otherwise be expected under current law. It was also amended to remove the requirement for a searchable database for consumers with developmental disabilities to eliminate the need for general fund expenditures. The other funds and federal funds expenditure limitation and precision authority related to this bill will be added to the Department of Human Services budget bill, Senate Bill 5529. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2442 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please declare your conflict.
I have interest in assisted care facilities.
Okay, your conflict will be noted for the record. Chair recognizes Senator Larry George. No. Okay. Any other discussion? Not. The question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2442. Those who have the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye, or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, President Courtney, excused, Morse, Winters, voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett, 22 ayes.
House Bill 2442, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, the remaining bill and executive appointments will be carried over until Wednesday's calendar. It is so ordered. Senator Ferrioli, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like to ask unanimous consent for the purpose of having my vote recorded on Senate Bill 64B.
Senator Ferrioli has asked for unanimous consent to execute a vote on Senate Bill 64B. Is there any objection? If not. Senator Ferrioli, how do you vote?
I vote aye, and Mr. President, it will not change the outcome.
Senator Ferrioli votes aye, will not change the outcome. It will be so recorded. Thank you. While we're on that, Senator Mons Anderson, did you want to do anything? Senator Schrader. Okay. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, the amendment has passed. House bills 2146, 3466, concurrence amendments passed. House bills 2134, 2243, 2386, 2441. The House refused concurrence amendments on House Bill 2472. Representative Barnhart, Chair, Representative Bentz and Bailey appointed to House conferences. House has also passed the following amendment of the House, Senate Bill 767.
Without objection, the Senate will revert to the order of reports from standing committees, so ordered. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summary number 137 was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report, so ordered. Without objection, the Senate will revert to first reading of House measures, so ordered.
House Bill 2146, connectivity provided by state government, declaring emergency. House Bill 3466, from medical health database maintained by the Department of State Police.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Without objection, the Senate will revert to second reading of House measures. So ordered.
House Bill 5004, Branch Administration of State Commission on Children and Families, Purpose Money Court Emergency. House Bill 5014, Branch Administration of State Department Administration of Wildlife, Purpose Money Court Emergency. House Bill 5022, Branch Administration of Department of Justice, Purpose Money Court Emergency. House Bill 5032, Branch Administration of Oregon Health and Science University, Purpose Money Court Emergency. House Bill 5040, Branch Administration of Public Affairs Service Commission, Purpose Money Court Emergency. House Bill 5049, Branch Administration of Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and Court Emergency. House Bill 5050, Branch Administration of Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and Court Emergency. House Bill 2571, Branch Veterans Educational Benefits Court Emergency.
Passed to calendar. The President of the Senate has appointed the following conferees to House Bill 2472, Senator Burdick, Senator Rosenbaum, and Senator Morris. Other business of the Senate. In accordance with SR 8.40 sub 3, committee referral list number 140 was distributed to the members June 22nd. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the status report. It is so ordered. Announcements. Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Republicans will have a five-minute caucus by the water cooler. And, Mr. President, later this afternoon at a location known well to you, the Senate Rules Committee will be convening to have our a little recognition ceremony for the chair of the Rules Committee, followed by a little dinner. So, Mr. President and members, if you're members of the Rules Committee, ask the president or presiding officer the directions to his house. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. Rules Chair is very appreciative. No announcements for tonight. We're back here tomorrow morning.
Okay, are there further announcements? Senator Walker.
Thank you. I'm assuming that others who are not on the Rules Committee can crash the party. That is an announcement. Is that an announcement?
I think that would be up to the Vice Chair of the Rules Committee. If there are no... Senator Devlin.
Just a clarification. Rules Committee will meet at 4:30 today for approximately 15 minutes.
All right. You got to meet before you eat. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 9, colleagues, 9 a.m. Wednesday, June 24th.